say good morning to all those watching online. I counted at least 20 between Facebook and YouTube, but then there's all these folks that are getting it on the website as well. Good morning. We love you. Thank you for being part of our service. And I also want to say thank you to the Suglio family. You know, I don't brag on them enough. They are doing a fantastic job, and so are the Moraleses. They are doing a fantastic job, and we're excited to partner with them. Take your Bible as we continue in our annual theme, which is growing deeper and reaching higher. And the Lord has led me to use Isaiah 40 and verse 31 as the verse that kind of breaks down the quarters, you know. So the first quarter, the Bible verse reads, "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." Well, all of the first quarter were messages about renewing our strength, talking about the character of God, the changelessness of God, how to walk with God, how to be filled with the Spirit of God, and to pray in the Spirit, and to be filled. And we talked about the Lord's Supper and being clean and coming to the table right with God and being able to say, as we'll talk about in a minute, me and God are okay. We're right with each other. I love it. But this quarter, starting in April now, we are on the part about mounting up with wings as eagles. I want to talk about how to just take off and take flight in your spiritual life. How to go from, my dad always said, you can soar with the eagles or you can stay on the ground with the turkeys, but you can't do both. So I want to talk about how to mount up and soar. You know, being a Christian has its benefits. It really does. And for those of you who are in a professional career, and I know I'm seeing all of you are, we understand what benefit packages are. Some of you are actually in HR and manage benefit packages for people. And it's crazy when people come to you with questions and they're like, "Well, didn't you read the HR manual? It's all right in there." And you're like, "Wow, I never thought of that." You know what, my brothers and sisters, the HR manual tells us about the benefit package of being a born-again believer. The Bible says in Psalm 68:19, "Blessed be the Lord who daily, daily loadeth us with benefits." And you know, salvation is forever. Do you realize this is as close to hell as you'll get? Right? Except maybe, well, I won't say it. But I was in New York City, and I'm a hick, all right? I'm from a small town. Some guy walked by me, and I am just looking up at this skyscraper, and he just walks up and goes, "You're not from around here, are you?" "No, I'm not." And do you realize they'll go 10 or 20 stories in the ground to park? Man, that's as close to hell as you'll ever get. But this is as close to heaven as lost people ever get. Do you understand that? This is as good as it gets until they know the Lord is their Savior. And the lost world would like to have the benefits, but strangely, I find that there are Christians, real born-again people, brothers and sisters of mine in Christ from all walks of life and all points around who are not enjoying the benefit package nor the benefits of being saved. See, in Ephesians 1:3, I'm going to get to Romans. Y'all just stay right there. In Ephesians 1:3, the Bible says, "Blessed be God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us, with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places." You have got some stuff that is at your disposal that are benefits, part of your benefits package as a Christian. Not just in the sweet by and by either, but in the nasty now and now, you have benefits. So in Psalm 103, verse 2, the Bible says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." And I find Christians who are enduring their Christianity. They're not enjoying it. And you recognize the depth of frown on your face really doesn't equate to your spirituality or anybody else's thought of how spiritual you are is how frown and down you are. So I don't want you to endure Christianity. I want you to start having a touch from heaven today and enjoy it. In Romans chapter 5 and verse 1, it says, "Therefore." Now, whenever you see the word "therefore," always go back and see why it's "therefore." I know that's a joke, but it's true. He's recapping chapters 3 and 4 that talk about the imputed righteousness of Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 3 and verse 22. "For the righteousness of Christ," that's the best there is no better, "which is by faith of Jesus Christ." We receive it. We receive God's righteousness. It's unto all and upon all them that believe. Do you realize that when you trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, all of the righteous holiness and goodness of Jesus Christ was then credited or imputed to your account? And on Calvary, all of your nasty sinfulness was imputed to Jesus Christ. He became sin who knew no sin, that we might become the righteousness of God, the Bible tells us. The fact that God is not saying to you and I, come to me. He's saying, I'll come to you. And he did. God went all in at Calvary. And that's what we were celebrating last week on Resurrection Sunday. God went all in. And Jesus came up out of that grave. So look at this. It says, therefore, because I have the imputed righteousness of Christ, it says being justified. That means there's no longer a barrier between God and I. We'll look at more of that in just a second. Being justified. Justification is an act of God. Salvation is not something you do. It's not in work. Salvation is something God does to you because of what God did for you. And justification means God declares you just. Or if you want to think of it this way, just if I'd never sinned. That's what justification is. Because of the righteousness of Jesus Christ imputed to your account. If you're born again, if you know Jesus as your Savior, say amen. If you can't say that, then you're not declared just. But if you are, well, then God sees you as just, as if it never happened. It is so cool. And it says here in Romans 5:1, being justified by faith. Now listen, everybody wants to complicate the word faith. What is faith? Is it the substance of things hoped for? Yes. Is it the evidence of things not seen? Yes. But let me give it to you in a way that makes sense. You won't loan your truck to just anybody, right? If you don't have a truck, you don't know what I'm talking about. If you got a truck, you understand. Put your hand right there. All right? And you just won't do that. Why? Because now here's another word for faith. If you don't have the confidence in that person's character to take care of your property and return it. You know, you all of us have that one friend when they pull up and they open their side door, all the McDonald's wrappers come falling out. You know what I'm saying? And if you don't have the confidence that they're going to return your vehicle to you in the way you gave it to them, clean and what have you, then you don't loan it to them because you don't have any confidence in them or faith in them, in their character or in their promises. So when it says we are justified, being justified by faith, that means I'm justified, I'm declared just because my confidence is in the character of Jesus Christ and his fulfilling the promises that he gave me. I've been declared just because of who Jesus is and what Jesus did. I have confidence in his sinless life and his substitutionary death for me and his resurrection that paid the price. And now I have a standing with God. Look at this here in Romans chapter 5. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. I have a standing with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. There's no longer a barrier of sin between Jesus and I. I'm positionally right. Okay, I'm not perfect. Neither are you. And if you're not sure, ask the person sitting around you. They'll clear that up. But you are seen by God because of the righteousness of God. You are seen as positionally righteous and judiciously righteous. And in verse 9, it says, being now justified by his blood. God's judgment has been satisfied. And now God is declaring you just. And the neatest thing, and look, you and I look in the mirror and we don't always like what we see, right? We don't always do. But the thing you've got to remember is that God has willed the memory of your sin out of existence. Listen to what it says in Psalm 103:12. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. You know, if you head north, sooner or later you're going to get to the top and you're going to have to head south, right? If you keep going. And you go far enough south, sooner or later, if you're going in the same direction, you're going to end up going north again. But if you head east and you never change direction, you'll always be going east. You're never going to run into the west. On that movie City Slickers, when I was a kid, he goes, well, we're out west now, so the compass doesn't matter anymore. No, you never run into the west if you're heading east, and you never run into the east if you're always heading west. That's how far away God has willed the memory of your sin. He doesn't even remember them anymore. So when the devil goes fishing in the sea of God's forgetfulness and reminds you of your past regret, you remind him of his future. Because I'm telling you right now, only you and the devil remember your sin. So if that thought came in your mind, didn't come from God. Right? And let me tell you something. Between you and him, between you and Satan, only you are justified before God. Isn't that cool? You have a standing. That's one of your benefits of being a Christian. You have standing with God. Look at that next phrase. It says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. I'm no longer God's enemy. I have been reconciled in Jesus Christ. Let me explain how this works. Jesus Christ in his deity represented God to mankind. But in his humanity, Jesus represented humanity to God. And in the God-man, Jesus, reconciliation happened between humanity and deity. There is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. That's 1 Timothy 2:5. That's how much, it's so cool. We have peace now with God. He absolves us from the guilt of our sin when we trust him as our Savior. See, God doesn't want you motivated by guilt. Do you have somebody in your life that likes to make you feel guilty? Somebody in your life that always likes to point out your faults or how you'll never be good enough? You know, God doesn't lead people that way. God wants us to realize how much we are loved. The love of Christ constraineth us, the Bible says. He wants us to realize how much we are loved and let that be our motivating factor. So how do I do that? Well, brother, makes first number one. Listen. Confess all known sin. You want to be filled with the Spirit? Confess all known sin and then verbally submit yourself. I have to do this every morning, sometimes throughout my day. Holy Spirit, the best I know how, I'm giving myself to you. Live through me, please. And at that moment, you and God are good. You ought to say that out loud every now and again. Hey, I've confessed my sin. I've surrendered. That's why I know how the Holy Spirit, me and God are good. Let's say it together. Me and God are good. You don't believe that? Listen, you're living in bondage if you do not understand that you were made just in Jesus. You're not worthy, but he made you worthy. Doesn't make sense to me in my little mind. I get that. But he made you worthy. So when you've confessed your sin every day, and look, just like you shower and the people around you like it when you shower and clean up from going out in the world, you ought to clean up spiritually. Confess your sin to God. And sometimes it's moment by moment throughout my day. But when you confess your sin and you're at that moment, you and God are good. When you have that conversation with your friends and something didn't go right, do you usually say to them, hey, are we good? When you confess your sin and you go to God and say, the best I know how, I'm just giving myself to you. You and God are good. You have peace with God, and you ought to enjoy that. That's part of your benefits package as being a Christian. Now, before I was saved, there was no peace. The Bible says in Isaiah 57, verse 21, there is no peace, saith God, to the wicked. Now everything's right. And the world doesn't have peace to offer me because the Prince of Peace has not come. Now, John 14, 27 refers to it as like the tranquility of the soul. Jesus said, peace I leave you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let it be afraid. And those of you who know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, peace with God is your benefit. You can say it again. Me and God, we're good. That's when Philippians 4:7 says, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds. Now look at that next phrase in Romans 5:2. By whom, that's Jesus Christ and his imputed righteousness, by whom also, there's more. There's more. Look at it. We have access by faith into this grace, this supernatural enabling. We have access to God. You know, back when I was a teenager, before I knew the Lord, we'd go to a lot of concerts. We'd just go to a lot. That's what we did. We were from small towns, and we'd like a bunch of hicks pile into my buddy's Nova, and we'd drive to Peoria, Illinois. That's a big town. And we'd go to the big town, and then we'd go down to, like, the field house, and they'd have all kinds of these bands and things. And our goal was to sneak backstage. Okay, that was our—and it was my claim to fame that I've been thrown out of places most people can't even get into. right? Unless you've got a VIP pass, you don't get backstage. I want you to understand one of the benefits of being a Christian is you have a VIP pass, baby. You have access to God. The Bible says in Hebrews 4 that we are to come boldly under the throne of grace. You know, it's really cool. In the old days, you know, you didn't come close to the king without an invitation. Well, even today, you don't come into the presence of our president or vice president without an invitation. But of course, their children can run right in. They have access. See, in our standing with God is you're not a slave. You're a son or a daughter of the King of Kings. You have access. It's like a VIP pass, baby. Nobody stops you. Back when I was in sales, you had to get past the gatekeeper on the phone so you could get to the decision maker and get an appointment. And I was calling medical offices, and you think it was the doctor, but it wasn't the doctor, it was the nurse. The nurse was in charge. She knew what was going on. She had everything under control, not just in the office side, but in the medical side. So I'd have to get past the gatekeeper to get to the decision maker, and that was the nurse. And those ladies knew what they were doing, but that was the key. You had to have access. And their job was to shield the nurse from frivolous sales calls from guys like me. But if you had access, man, you could walk right in, go right behind the counter and talk to her. Man, you were in, buddy. Let me tell you something. You have a VIP pass backstage or to front stage, right to the front of the throne of God Almighty. And that is your benefit. And all it says, and look at this, and it says, we have access by faith into this grace. Grace, supernatural enabling, that unmerited favor of God wherewith we stand. We have a standing with God. And because I have a standing and you have a standing with God, you have the right to have expectations. Now you think, wait a minute, hold on, you're being arrogant. No, every relationship has expectations. Your spouse has expectations. Your family has expectations. Your job, right, has expectations upon you. What are God's expectations for us? Well, for those who trust Jesus Christ as their Savior, which he wants everybody to do, they're to be baptized scripturally by immersion, as the Bible teaches. They're to join a Bible-preaching church. They're to be active. And they're to read, pray, tithe, witness, go to church. That's the foundational five. That's the basic expectation, the first mile of Christianity for every Christian. That's what God expects. And I can show you in the Bible where they're all at. But did you know that you have been given this access, been given this this standing to where you actually are allowed to have expectations of God? Now, that's a powerful thought because God has made us some promises. He said, if you'll do this, then I'll do that. And he said, I will bind myself to my word. If you do what I tell you, if you live blessable, you know what blessable means? You know when you take your little kid to the store and they throw a fit because they want some trinket that they purposely put there to mess with parents at the checkout? You know what I'm talking about, right? Amen? Right? Okay, there was a rule in my house. If you make a fuss, you get nothing. Okay? So what's cool is my oldest son started policing the younger ones because the younger ones start to fuss and they go, hey, you say a word, we get nothing. Shut up. I'll get you later. But you have this standing and expectation that God has made you a promise and he has never failed, no, not one time. So you have this. That's what hope really is. Hope is not some wishy-washy, maybe so sparkled pixie dust kind of garbage you see on cartoons. Hope is the base. Look it up in Webster's 1828 dictionary. It's the oldest dictionary we've got that quotes the Bible for usage. So I use it all the time. And it says, hope is the expectation of receiving good and not evil. That's what hope is. Look at this now. One of our benefits is hope. By whom we also have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. Grace is God giving you something you didn't earn. And rejoice in hope, in the expectation of receiving good and not evil of the glory of God. This world offers us no hope. This present generation of children our educators are having to deal with, these are children who are on the verge of a mental health crisis. They are quarantined away from the world, and all they have is a relationship through some screen, and all that pours through this screen is the garbage of doom and gloom, and the polar ice caps are going to melt, and there's only going to be an inch of topsoil, and the whole world's going to pot because we... Is that not what your kids are? It's what my kids are all day. There's no hope, no expectation of good from this world. But God says, you can expect me to do you good and not evil. Do you understand? That's your benefit as a Christian. Now hope is not cheap. Hope is built in us. As I said, I remember not having any hope. And when I was first introduced to the idea of hope, my pastor always talked about, I have this blessed hope of the return of Jesus Christ, and that's true. And I have the hope of my body being redeemed. You know, no one in heaven has gray hair. Nobody in heaven has bad knees. Nobody in heaven uses a walker or a cane or drags an oxygen tank. Everybody's more alive than they ever were here, young and healthy, never to die, never to get sick, never to say goodbye. That's just so glorious to think about. But you know, that's not the only hope I have. I've also got the hope I'm going to see my brothers and sisters again, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout and the voice of the archangel, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. We have the hope that we're eternally secure. That's what it says in Romans chapter 8. For nothing can separate us from the love of God. You weren't good enough to get it. You're not good enough to keep it. God saved you. You are kept by the power of God. You are in the hand of the Father. Jesus said there's no reason you could give him that cast you out. But you know, I also have hope in this life. I have hope not only in the next, but I have hope here. But hope comes through the other benefit of salvation, and that is triumph through trials. See, I have a hope that my life has meaning. Because of the promises of God, I know my life has meaning, and I expect good and not evil from God. I'm not saying it's all going to be roses and unicorns. I'm saying God is going to give me good instead of evil. He's not going to give me evil for his own sinful pleasure or his own habits of trying to have fun with me. No. He is going to take whatever comes my way, and he's going to make it for my good if I let him. I have an expectation that my life has purpose in his kingdom because the Bible says so. I have expectation that I'm more than I appear to be because I am a part of his family. I am a son of God. You are a son or a daughter of God. You are not a servant and a slave. There is a place for you at his table. Isn't that awesome? I don't know what the mansions are going to look like, but they're there. I trust Jesus when he said they're there. But it says here in Romans 5 and verse 3, and not only so, hey, there's more, but we glory in tribulation. Why? How can we? What do you mean glory? Tribulation is the same word they use for pressure. It's the same Greek word that means you squeeze olives to make oil, you squeeze grapes to make juice, you squeeze coal to make diamonds. It's the same word. And if you don't have pressure in your life, hold on. You're either going into a tribulation or in a tribulation, or you're just coming out of a tribulation. I know I don't mean to make it all look gloomy, but I'm here to tell you, you have triumph in tribulations. Why can we rejoice in it? Because God's going to work it out for our good. Not only so, but we glory in tribulations. Why? Because we know. Look at that next word, knowing. This is a heart persuasion. I know, cognizantly I know this, that tribulation, pressure, struggles, worketh patience. And patience, experience. And experience, hope. Now the thing is, brothers and sisters, those of you who are younger than me, I'm so glad you're here. And it's not that we old folks don't think whatever you're going through is important. We do. It's just we've been through it. And we watch God bless. We have now an experienced track record of watching God be good. You ever heard that phrase? God is good all the time, and all the time God is good. You know, or is that, did I say it wrong? Oh, I said it right. Okay. See, in this book of Psalms, it says God is good, period. End of thought. Mic drop. Just like it. Boom. But you got to walk with God a while for that to be true to you. You understand? See, because as you go through struggles, you watch God. How many of you here know what it's like to have your car paid off? Amen. How many of you know what it's like not to have a car payment? Do you know how you got that knowledge? By experiencing a car payment. So now afterwards, you're like, praise the Lord. I called the insurance company, said, drop it. Drop the insurance, baby. It's paid for. You know, it's a good excuse to go buy another one. But but the truth is, until you've had a health crisis, you don't really appreciate your health. You ever heard an old timer like me say, youth is wasted on the young? Right? Always checking out new vitamin packs because I'd like to look like the guy on the vitamin pack. You know what I'm saying? You have baby powder. You have powdered eggs. You have powdered milk. Maybe that'll work. I don't know. But you think about it until you've experienced some things. You then have a track record with God. You have experience. And experience brings you an expectation of receiving good and not evil. That's hope. That's a benefit. That's part of your benefit package as a Christian. That's why we're to be thankful in trials. Because God is going to use it for your good, Romans 8, 28 and 29 says. For we know that all things work together. All things, everything, even your mother-in-law, works to everything good to them that love God, to them that are called according to your purpose. That's right. You understand, everything, he's going to do it. He's going, listen, he'll not remove the memories of the pain, but he will heal the pain of those memories, and then he will harness the power of that trial and he will use it for your good. And what he does in you will give you the ability to look back and see what you are now and go, thank God. Thank God. I now thank God for that death. I thank God for that job loss. I thank God for the economy going in the tank. I mean, because look what God did in my life. You know, it wasn't until I was out of work and living in my brother's basement as a family of six that I watched God just drop money in my hand. For 2 years between churches, I was only unemployed 10 days. Because about the time I'd finished painting this apartment, somebody else would call and say, can you hang a ceiling fan? Sure, I'll be there tomorrow. And I'd hang a ceiling fan, and then the neighbor would come over and say, can you paint my apartment? Well, sure. And then the next day is, hey, you hang sheetrock? Yeah, I do. I'll be right there. You know. And for 2 years, I watched God just drop money in my hand as I was looking for the church. But it isn't until you're without, in the middle of a pressure, that you actually notice it's God who signs your paycheck. Mm-hmm. That's it. Not the great marble castle over there across the Potomac. It's God. And so my brothers and sisters, hope. Now, if you're not living blessable, then you're like the kid throwing a fit at the cash register. He cannot reward bad behavior. But this hope, it says in verse 5, maketh not ashamed. That means God has never lied to me. That it means God has never forsaken me. That means God has never took advantage of me. God has never kicked me when I'm down. God has never done anything but be good to me, even if I couldn't see it at that moment. There's never been a time God's character has failed me. There's never been a time when God has failed not to keep his promise. That's why I have this expectation. I know it's gonna. I don't care who's in the White House. It doesn't matter. God's still on the throne. I expect good, not evil. I don't care what happens to the economy. God, I still expect God goodness from God. There'll be tough times, but then there's always tough times. You know, what was funny is we were talking to my kids about all the things that weigh on this generation, you know, how the world's going to end. Every 4 or 5 years, somebody gets up and has this bright idea, and they repackage this garbage and say the world's going to end. You know, it was the Red Scare and the Cold War when you and I were kids. They're going to nuke us from across the pond. You know, I mean, what'd we do? Well, we got up every day and went to work, you know. We got up every day and raised our families. Now, the next benefit you see here is the love of God. Unless I digress. It says the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. How do I know that God loves me? Because hereby we perceive the love of God. This is 1 John 3:16. Because he laid down his life for us. That's how you know God loves you. Who else has offered to die for you besides the American military? Who has done that? Well, God has, and he actually went on through it just like some of our citizens have. We know this by example because his character, he's never failed. Look at verse 6. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the godly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. What does that mean? You need a kidney? You know how hard it is to find somebody who's willing to step forward and go, you know what, I don't know you, but we're a match, I'll give you one. Now you see these little motorcycle pocket rockets, you know what I'm saying? And they're doing 100 miles an hour down 395. We refer to them as donor bikes. I was on 395 the other day and somebody whipped by me like they were on fire. And I thought, somebody going to get a kidney today. Mm-hmm. Now that's sick and twisted because somebody did, but I'm just saying, I felt bad afterwards. But the truth is, how many people are going to step forward in your family and go, I'll give you a kidney? You know how hard that is? Now there's some, praise the Lord for some. But that's what Jesus is saying. That's what Paul is saying. Look, you know how hard it is to find somebody who would do something life and death for you? Now yet peradventure, for a good man, maybe your battle buddy will climb into that mess and pull you out. But God, in contrast to man's love, God commended his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, you ain't going to climb down on that mess for your enemy. God did. God climbed down from heaven, came to earth, went all in at Calvary for those who did not like him and did not love him and said, I'll die for you. That's how you know God loves you. That's how you know. Are you resting in God's love? Are you living in fear, thinking he doesn't love you? Every time you see a cross, it proves God's love. Every time you see one, you need to be reminded, that's God's love for me. Another benefit is the indwelling Holy Spirit. Look at this. It says here, and not only so, but we glory in tribulations, patience, and then we move down here, I'm sorry, and it says, where are we at? Verse 5, it says, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Are you letting the Holy Spirit of God empower you? That's a benefit that is part of your package. He indwells you, he wants to empower you, he wants to live through you. Then in verse 9, it says, we are delivered from wrath. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. There's a great tribulation coming, and we're going to be saved from that. But you know, in my current tribulations, God's never lied to me. God has never forsaken me. He's never hurt me for his own pleasure. He's never hurt me for any gain of his own. He's always been good. And he's always worked it out for good, so I can trust God. I know who I am in God. I am who God says I am. I am what God says I am. I'm holy, I'm righteous, I'm loved, I'm accepted. I am his, and he is mine. And I now have access and standing, and I can have this expectation. It's called hope. I have the expectation of good and not evil. And that's why Peter called it a living hope or a lively hope. And that is why the last package, part of my package, is joy. Look what verse 10 says. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more. How much more? Being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God. Joy through our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you understand? Joy isn't circumstantial. It's not based on our happenstance. It's not based on anything. I can rejoice that he lives. I can choose to rejoice because he provided salvation. I rejoice because of who he is and what he has promised me. And when I pray, listen, when you pray, that's like asking for rain. But when you grab an umbrella, that's faith. That's you believing he is going to receive, you're going to receive what you ask for. I'm not talking about a holy slot machine or a Coke machine where you put in a prayer and God pops out everything. No, no, no. The Bible says if we keep his commandments and do the things that are pleasing in his sight, we know we've received. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 14. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that we know he hears us. And if we know he hears what whatsoever we ask, we know we have the petitions we have desired of him. See, it's one thing to pray, but when you pray, do you believe God's... See, some folks ask you to pray because they don't think God will answer because it's them asking. See, they believe God is, and they believe that God can, and they believe that God's able, and he may be even willing, but he won't because it's me asking. Is that how you feel? You feel like God is, and God can, and God's able, and God may even be willing, but it's me asking, so God ain't. It's just, ain't gonna happen. because you know what kind of sinful dirt wad you are, because I know what kind of sinful dirt wad I am, right? We're all made out of dust, so we all know what kind of sinner we are, so we're afraid to ask, because we don't want to prove God, you know, we don't want to prove our fears right. But remember, God is who he said he is. And God will do what he said he would do. So if I ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. That's what 1 John chapter 5 and verse 14 says. So when I think of it, when I think of joy in my life, part of my benefits package is that when I ask God in faith, believing he's, I'm going to receive. Because I'm going to expect good and not evil. Well, what if God says no? You know, you ought to thank God for the prayers he doesn't answer. You have no idea where your life would be, if you'd even be alive if God asked. How many people would still be alive if God answered every prayer you asked? God, won't you just kill them? You didn't say it out loud, but you were thinking it at Christmas time when your uncle was ruining everything, or your aunt, or whoever. There's always one in the family. Aren't you glad God doesn't answer every prayer? Huh? Find out later he was right, you were wrong, and you should have been patient. But you have access to God. And you are allowed by your standing in Jesus Christ to have expectation that he will do you good. It's what he defines as good, not necessarily what we define as good. But he will do us good and not evil all the days of our life. So are you enjoying your Christianity? Or are you just enduring it? You're just doing it because you're afraid God is going to smite you. That isn't the God I serve. He's a God of wrath, he's a God of judgment, he's a God of holiness, but Jesus Christ satisfied those things when I trusted him as my Savior. Have you trusted Christ as your Savior? Do you know him as your Savior? Then you're just, you're righteous, you're holy, you're loved, you're accepted, and you have the right to have expectations of him being good, not evil. Let's stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Are you utilizing all parts of your benefits package? Have you read the HR manual? They're yours to claim. They're yours to choose. I'm going to pray, and this is your opportunity to talk with the Lord. If you're lost and you want to know for sure if you died, you'd go to heaven. It's not in baptism. It's not in church membership. It's not in the Lord's table. It's in calling upon him and asking him to forgive you because you believe he died for you. If you'd like me to come to your pew, I'll sit down and I'll show you, or we can talk after. But if you've got a health crisis or a need, financial, whatever, come. Come forward. Let me pray with you. Our Father and our God, we love you. In the next few moments, we ask that you would speak to every heart and every soul. And Father, during the message, maybe some of our benefits that we have not been taking advantage of, that we've been living below the level of blessing that you intended for us. Father, we repent and say we're sorry. Forgive us. Our desire is to live to the fullest in your grace because of what you've done for us already. And Father, with great expectation and hope, we look for your goodness and not evil, because that's your character, is to be good. And Father, we ask that you'd speak to the hearts and those that are troubled right now, heavy with grief, heavy hearts that are in the midst of the pressure, the crucible of life. Father, let them gain the experience of your benevolence each and every day as you meet their needs and grace them with your power to face today. We're thankful for this. And Father, speak and let us have an opportunity to speak to you now in Jesus' name. Amen. This is your opportunity. She plays and sings. The altar's open. You can play at your seat. We're here for you. We're here for you.
Lord, I come. I confess. Bowing here. I find my rest, and without you, I fall apart. You're the one that guides my heart.
God's greatest desire, or greatest delight, excuse me, God's greatest delight is to be believed by his people. When you believe him and take him at his word, you delight the very heart of our Creator and our Savior. You bring joy to our Father by believing him. taking him at his word and trusting his character. Won't you do that today?
Oh God.
As you stand there praying, maybe as an individual or as a couple or as a family, won't you just take a moment and pray out loud and thank the Lord. Thank the Lord for the benefits he gives.
Where sin runs deep.
And as she is singing, I need you, let that be your prayer today. I need you, God. I need you.
Where grace is
I don't need things. I need you.
Is where you are.
The blessings of God are without grief. They give us no grief. His blessings do not cause us problems.
I am free.
They free us. They engrace us. They enjoy, rejoice us.
Is Christ in me where you are? Lord, I am free. Holiness is Christ.
If you're born again, but you've yet to be scripturally baptized by immersion, then it's the next step for you.
Lord, I need you.
You're born again and you're baptized, and let's join the church. Let's become a member. Join the family. Let's put our hand to the plow and serve and see what God does. We're not much, but God wants us. God don't need us, but God wants us. It's nice to know we're wanted by our Father. Wanted. Desired.
Oh God, how I need
our Heavenly Father, we love you. It's true, you don't need anything. You're the self-existent God. You don't need us, but you want us. And God, that is such a blessing to know that we're wanted, accepted, have standing and access to thee, that we are brought close because you're not a God far off, but you're a God that is nigh. And today, God, we rejoice in all of the benefits you give us, the grace, the Holy Spirit, who is so kind and sweet and teaches us so many things. As we go our separate ways today, God, I ask that you would allow us to take this testimony with us and to tell others of the great grace, benefits we have as your children. And today, God, we just say thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to ask Pastor